Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 25 to 29 this morning. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And let's pray together. Father, as we look into your word this morning, please help us to see the truth that you've given, Lord. I pray, Lord, I know we'll never understand it all, but Lord, instruct us and help us as your children, please. Lord, we just ask this for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. My text verse this morning is verse number 27, probably one of the most comforting verses, not the only one, but one of the most comforting verses in your Bible. It says, The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This passage is so rich for you as a child of God. I hope you take it home and read it later today and think about it. I know that this is talking to Jacob or the nation of Israel, but if I remind you this morning, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're a spiritual seed of Abraham. You're a spiritual Jew. We're not the replacement for Israel, but you're a spiritual Jew if you're saved and on your way to heaven. The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed after knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Galatians 3, God says, If you're saved, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's not saying when you got baptized is when you got saved. Baptism doesn't save anybody. It is saying when you got saved, you were baptized in Christ. You were placed in Christ. Then later on, after you got saved, you follow the Lord in baptism, because that pictures what happened when you got saved. So here, God says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female. Boy, in our society today, what a statement to make, amen? That's misogynistic. That's not misogynistic. Look, you don't want to be, when you get saved, whether you're a man or a woman, you're called a son of God. I want to be a daughter of God. No, you don't. You know why? Because a daughter didn't have any inheritance. That's why there's neither male nor female when you get saved. God says when you get saved, a lady who trusts Jesus gets everything that a man gets when they trust Jesus. Aren't you glad? That's why there's neither male nor female. Okay, God doesn't have a gender problem. God doesn't wonder what bathroom you should use. Amen? Okay, let's go back to the... Watch this. And if ye be... God's not confused. It says here, And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, then you're not a child of God. God's word says you're a child of hell if you're lost. You're a child of hell if you're lost. God tells us in Deuteronomy, I told you verse 27 is my text verse. If you look at verse 26, can I show you something? Before we get into verse 27, it says, There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. What's Jeshurun mean? It's used four times in your Bible. It's a poetic term, and it's a term of endearment for God's people. the people of Israel. The word Jeshurun means the dear upright people. So it's a term for God's people, talking about Israel. If I read it this way, there is none like unto the God of the people of Israel, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. Isn't that wonderful? In your help. God, okay, I thought about this, God is so near us and ready to help us. He is over us in divine power, and God doesn't ride anything, okay? It says he rideth, who rideth upon the heaven. God doesn't ride anything, but this is a way of saying, listen, God is moved to help you. And if God is riding something, the thought is he's quick to come versus if you had to walk to somebody that needed help. And so he rideth upon the heavens to help us. He's a quick help. And God says, I want you to know, if you need something, I'm here to help you. You don't have to go through life alone. I know a lot of people, they know there's a God, but they live as if there is none. Oh, I know there's God, I know Jesus died on the cross, but when they face problems and trials, they don't pray, they don't ask God for help. They, once again, they know God, but they live like an atheist. Here, God says, he rideth upon the heaven for thy help. We who trust in the Lord are always safe. Just like God is above us and ready to help us, God is also underneath us. Look at verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So above you, God is quick to come to your help. And in your low points, God is underneath you, ready to catch you with his arms. God's above, God's below, and as you're looking at this, I just love thinking about this. Verse 27 also says that God is in front of you. Right now we've looked at the top, we've looked at the bottom. Watch this, look at verse 27 again. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from, and then if you underline that word, before thee. Isn't that wonderful? He's in front of you and shall say, destroy. God's the one saying, destroy them. Destroy the enemy in front of you. It's wonderful to have a very personal God that surrounds us, not only with his presence, but also with his love. He's above. He's beneath. He's before us. He's all around us. And aren't you glad he never forsakes us? He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God says, I'll never leave you. When you feel alone, God says, you're not. Acts chapter 17, stay in Deuteronomy, it says that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Once again, God is above, God is beneath, and God is in front of us and all around us. We have a very personal God. I'm going to show you something in verse 27, and I want you to realize when you make God your refuge, what you consider dangerous becomes no longer dangerous. God says, look at verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge. That's the requirement. You can't live like a spiritual bum and experience God's presence. You can't go to the stinking nightclubs. You can't hang around with the druggies. You can't hang around with people that cuss God and expect God's blessing and protection. You can't laugh at the filthy. When God is your refuge, when you're in trouble and you trust him enough to run to him, that's a refuge. That's my safety. Oh no, I'm facing something I can't. You can't drink alcohol as a refuge. That's why most people drink it. It's an escape. You can't. That's why, okay, when I was in the Marine Corps, that's why the guys that did drugs and got kicked out, that's why they said they did the drugs. The pressure's making me do it. So the drugs are your refuge. The alcohol is your refuge. the wrong crowd. You cannot not put your trust in God and then that's how you experience God's blessings. But you can't run with the world and get God's blessings. Am I okay? You can't listen to the rock music. Okay, and Jesus is with me. You won't feel God's presence in the rock music or the rap music or the country. When God is your refuge, when God is my high tower and the one that I run to when I'm in trouble, when I'm facing what I've never seen before, God says, if you'll run to me in your heartache and in your trouble, God says, I'll help you that fast. I'll ride on the heavens. I'll be there the moment you call. God never fails you when you trust Him. But He can't be an afterthought. Oh yeah, God, yeah. See, that's American Christianity. You understand? And I thank God for our freedom. Because in America, we get to do whatever we want to do, right? So, it's almost like when you read verse 27, you get to make it's pure. God, I'll turn to you when I'm facing what I've never faced before and when I'm scared. When God, the eternal God, is thy refuge or your place of safety, people cannot be your refuge. Sex outside of marriage cannot be your refuge. God is supposed to be the one you run to. Now, if I oversimplify things, we say that heaven is above and hell is beneath. And there is some truth to that. We talk of the evil underworld of spirits. Okay? I believe, from what the Bible teaches, that hell is in the center of the earth. They find as they drill that the temperature gets hotter and hotter and hotter. So that's a different Bible study, but we talk of the evil underworld of spirits. Many Christians are attacked and vexed by devils or spirits from the underworld. And I'm just going to make a statement here. If you're fiddling with drugs, the word for drug in your Bible is pharmakia, sorcery. Do you know why? Because they use narcotic drugs to get in contact with the spiritual world. Voodoo does it in Haiti. We can go, you can pick any cult activity. Drugs are used to enhance the visual of the spirit world. You cannot, when you play with drug and drug addiction, you are dealing with the spirit world in a dangerous way. I did not say if everybody that's addicted to drugs is demon possessed. I will say this, that's one reason a Christian shouldn't have anything to do with it. There are things, okay, I don't know how a Christian can listen to rock music and not be under the influence of devils. It will quench the Holy Spirit. You won't feel God's presence in the rock or the rap or the country. I'll throw it in there, the pop. Whatever you want to call it. The drums are meant to numb your mind and get you in a state where you can be hypnotized. It's filthy music. It is the devil's playground. You cannot mess with what the devil has provided and experience God's presence. Now, that's important. Here, many Christians, that's how come I can say, I'm watching Christians play with devilish things and then they're devilish oppressed. And they're not enjoying being a Christian. Because they have things in their life that are pulling out of the satanic underworld. And see, and here's the problem. And the reason they have a problem with it is because they don't believe there's an underworld. Oh, that's extreme for preachers. No, if you mess with the devil's crowd and what he has provided, yeah, you're going to get bit. That's why he's called a serpent. He's a snake. And he's quiet. He's quiet and subtle. Christians I watch don't believe in Satan, or they don't understand that there really is an unseen spiritual battle going on. Satan's twofold work is deception and accusation. Satan uses deception to hinder the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 3 through 4. And then Satan accuses to sow discord between believers and the Lord. Below So below is the pit of hell with Satan and his devils. Our text tells us in verse 27, this is wonderful. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So this morning I can tell you, against the vicious, deadly attacks of the foe of God, God has given you a shield. Underneath you are his arms. Underneath you are his arms. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I love reminding you this morning that when Satan was allowed to tempt and afflict Job, read Job chapter 1, when Satan wanted him and his family and his business, God drew a line in the sand, said, you can come to that point and no further. You may not touch his wife or his body. Okay, then Satan came again. Well, if you protected him, then God moved the line. You may touch his body, but you may not kill him. God draws the lines that Satan cannot cross. And when you read the rest of the story, yes, Job lost his business and his money and his children. And what did God give him afterwards, because he was faithful to the Lord? Twice as much when it was done. So Job is an example of suffering in the Bible. It's wonderful to see that God draws the line. God sets the bounds on the waters of the ocean, and there's always limits on Satan and in his worst attacks. That's because this morning, underneath you are the everlasting arms of the Lord himself. This morning, underneath can mean the spirit world, but it's also talking about where we live and work as we journey through this wilderness. Some of you see the daily toil and poverty and trials and temptations of the daily grind only through physical eyes. And sometimes life's tough. And sometimes it can discourage you. Sometimes it can get... I wish you could see it through spiritual eyes and see that underneath, down here where we live, are the everlasting arms. The God who made you will carry you. The God who made you loves you and can bear you and carry you down here if you'll let him. Go back to verse 26, when the eternal God is thy refuge. When he's the one you're running to. He's the one I need. More than I need anything else, he's my safety. He's the one that I need. Underneath, are the everlasting arms. That can also apply to the discouragement and downhill slopes of life. As you get older and start the descent down the hill of life, it's wonderful to know you can grow old gracefully. And see, young people think they're never going to get old. Okay? I know, because I was one. All right? But getting old is not for wimps. All right? I like that statement. As you get older and you go through the transitions of life, it is a valley of humiliation and it's very trying to us when you start learning you're not as strong as you thought you were. I'm 53, and I'm coming into that part of life. I used to, the guys in when we were in college, they called me an ox. They said I could carry those big boxes up 5 flights of stairs, run back down, get another 2 shoulders full, come back up the 5. I mean, I could do, I think we did that. We had to carry boxes for like, it was 3 hours one day. I was like, come on, guys, we can get these. Don't ask me to do that now. And watch this. That's it's humiliating. It's humbling. You're not as strong as you thought you were, as you used to be. That's called going through life and learning your limitations. And as you get exhausted, your body breaks down and starts to get sick. All of that, all through all those. Our text this morning is very sweet. Verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Aren't you glad you can't go any lower than God's arms? Unless the Lord speedily returns, you're going to have to come down very low to die. But praise the Lord, even then underneath are the everlasting arms. It's because of this that Paul wrote before the Lord called him home in Philippians. Listen, to die is gain. We don't think of it like that. We think, oh, the worst thing that could happen is that you die. That's not the worst thing that can happen to you. The worst thing that can happen to you is if you die without Christ. But if you're a Christian, to die is gain. To die is gain. Because when death comes and your body is low in the grave, if you're saved, you can't go any lower because underneath are the everlasting arms. And in due times, those arms are going to raise your body up again at the resurrection. Underneath this morning, I'm just focusing on one word. Underneath can also apply to the times of doubt about ourselves. We're learning about the Christian spiritual examination checklist in Sunday school. We started that this morning. And God says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Every Christian has to examine themselves and say, am I doing what God wants me to do? Because we can backslide and think we're closer to God than we are. All of us. And God says every one of us needs a time where you look at you and the Bible and say, am I doing what God requires of me? Well, with that in mind, okay, 2 Corinthians, okay, when you find it as you examine your spiritual life, that there are some areas that you don't have the solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ, and you're actually building on sand, then don't get discouraged and quit. Keep on going and realize that underneath your failures and your negatives of your life are the everlasting arms. 1 John 3:20 says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. I've watched some Christians get so discouraged over their own failures that they quit going to church. That's it. I can't live the Christian life. No. Christian, underneath your failures, He's there. If you'll take your failures to Him and say, God, I'm a mess this way, and Lord, I'm a disaster this way, and dear God, I need You. God says, my arms are underneath You. I can if you'll run to Me, but don't quit. Don't quit, God. Everybody in here has got failures. Everybody in here has shortcomings. Everybody in here has things that you wish you could do more for. Well, praise God. All of us have room to grow in the Lord then. Amen? Don't quit, though, because of your failures. You failed to read your Bible last year? Well, praise the Lord. 2 days, we'll start a new year. Start again. And when you find yourself not doing what you ought to do, then start over. You say, well, it's just 2 days after I started before. Don't think about that. Just start over. Underneath your failures are the everlasting arms. Underneath. You say, I'm so weak spiritually, and I'm failing. In these areas, I can just tell you this morning, don't quit. That word underneath, it can also apply to our hard times. When things appear to be at the very worst, according to our limited judgment, when there's an affliction or a huge problem that has dominated your mind for a long time, that problem that you go to bed thinking about, and when you wake up in the morning, it's the first thing on your mind. And you go to bed again that night, and that same problem's on your mind, and it just goes day after day, and it wears on you. It wears on you. Those trials, those hard times, when there's an affliction, when you can't understand what the Lord is doing, can I just tell you, this morning, He loves you, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The Lord never ceases to care for us. Even when things are at their worst, if I could testify this morning and let you know that in life's hottest fires and in its deepest waters, I can tell you I've never been burned and I've never drowned. That's because underneath are the everlasting arms. It's a beautiful truth. Because the everlasting arms are there, our safety is secure. This strengthens our faith because God is with us. When you say, I'm here all alone. You forgot. See, a Christian isn't supposed to talk that way. A Christian, Jesus said, my Father's always with me and I do always those things that please him. If you're saved, God lives inside of you. Nobody cares about me. A Christian isn't supposed to talk that way. There are people who spiral downwards because they think like the world. And I'll say it once again. They're saved, they've got God inside them, but they live like an atheist. They don't pray. They don't depend on God. They don't run to God. The eternal God is thy refuge. And God says, there's nothing you're going through right now that I can't help you with. God isn't the problem. The problem's us that we don't run to the Lord. But God says, you want the drugs? Take the drugs. You want the alcohol? Take the alcohol. You want the wrong crowd? Want the sex outside of marriage? Want the partying life? Want the music? God says, when you're done playing, I'm right here. When you finally figure out that the devil's a liar and he never pays off what he promises, when you're done, I'm right here and I'll help you. But no, when you're over there, no, I'm not going to help you. The prodigal son had to get out of the hog pen and come home to get help. God didn't go rejuvenate the hog pen. Well, here, let's neaten up the hog pen and let's clean up this mud. And he didn't do that. But that's the way people think God's supposed to deal with their problem. Well, when you get up and come to yourself and realize you've been lied to and the devil's a phony and he's a liar, God says, when you're ready to quit playing, I'm right here and I can help you, but I don't help you over there. I help you on my terms. Amen. When I become your refuge, when I'm your safety net, because the everlasting arms are there, there is a strength that never fails. Deep down, underneath, even though you can't see it, the divine power of the eternal Godhead is always working for you. You can say with confidence this morning, at the bottom of everything that happens to me, God's eternal power and purpose is working it out. You say, why? Because underneath are his everlasting arms. Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I've illustrated that several times this morning. Because the everlasting arms are underneath, that means the Lord can bear your load with patience and endurance that is inexhaustible. I've had the privilege in our church since I've been here of helping a police officer, a former police officer, and a military person with PTSD. And they say that the PTSD, because the soldiers aren't dealing with it well, they're committing suicide in the States, our military personnel. Do you know why? Because they don't have God. If you're lost, you don't have God. And my heart goes out to them. But in helping somebody with PTSD, no, there are Bible answers. Salvation's the first one. But just because you're saved, then we go study the life of David, who killed people by the thousands within a foot and a half. We're talking sword-to-sword combat. He saw the light go out in a lot of people's eyes and lived with it. How do you help somebody? Like, there's plenty of help in the Bible. But no, the alcohol and the drugs and the partying, no, it only compounds it and makes it worse. It only makes it worse. God's everlasting arms. If you've trusted Jesus to save your never-dying eternal soul, then you can trust him to carry your load this morning. You can trust him instead of worrying. I love making this statement because it helps me. There shouldn't be anything that's bugging you this morning. There shouldn't be anything you haven't taken to the Lord. And if you're bothered right now and you can't even focus on the sermon because your mind's elsewhere, have you taken it to the Lord? Well, no, you just got to understand what I'm dealing with. Nobody knows what I'm going through. And every time somebody makes that statement, it's always a license to do whatever they want to do because nobody understands me. God does. God understands you. No, that's not a license for you to do whatever you want to do. My goodness, why don't you take it to the Lord? Then let it push you to your knees and cry out to your God. Underneath are his everlasting arms, and they never fail. And they never fail. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Not one of his promises can fall to the ground. Because God himself is underneath you, there is a peace to know that he'll carry you through. Now, why is this verse so precious this morning? The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. When you're sick, and you're weak, and you feel like you're sinking, and you try to rise and you can't, I'd like to remind you this morning, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I didn't ask his permission, but I was thinking of Brother Chrysostomo this morning, because there's times he's so weak and he wants to come to church and he can't. Could I just tell you, Brother Chrysostomo, underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. When you're tired, when you feel so weak there's nothing left, then God's omnipotence and upholding strength is felt. When we feel there's nothing left in us, then God comes in with all of his fullness and bears us up. The 24 or the 48-hour flu is bad enough, but when it's long-lasting sickness and when it's an ailment, please know this morning, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The sweetest songs in the hymn book were penned when the person was heartbroken and afflicted or behind bars. When H.G. Spafford lost all four of his children in the shipwreck. And then when he went to the shipmaster on his way back to England and said, when we get to the place where the ship where my children are in, would you tell me? The captain sent somebody down to his room and said, we're getting ready to pass over the place where the ship went down and your children drowned. So as they crossed over it, he went up to the bow, and God gave him the song, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. As he watched the ocean, he said, my kids went down here. I'm just trying to tell you that some of the hymns in the hymn book are written out of heartbreak and out of pain when they felt the presence of God in the loss, in the loss. When we can no longer stand, I'd like to tell you this morning, it's a privilege to be able to fall into God's everlasting arms. This verse is precious to those who feel inadequate in his service. When you're fearful and you say, I'm scared as a Sunday school teacher, or I'm scared as a soul winner, I feel so close to failure as a bus worker, can I just encourage you this morning, underneath are the everlasting arms. God's word tells us that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Isn't it wonderful to know? I don't care how much of a failure you feel like this morning when you talk about your walk with God. When God saved you, he knew what your problems were. And God's never been sorry that he saved you. Think about what I just said. There's not been one flaw you've taken to God where God's, oh, really? God knew about it when he saved you. Aren't you glad the gifts and calling of God are without repentance? I know that's dealing with the calling of Israel, but child of God, it's talking about you too. So when your failures get you down, you can go back to God and say, Lord, here I am, not hiding nothing. It's me again. I say it, but aren't you glad God doesn't? And God knew God knew every sin you would commit after you got saved before he saved you. Think about what I just said. That is not an excuse. I'm not trying to say it's an excuse to sin. I am trying to encourage you this morning. Aren't you glad God's love doesn't change for you? Aren't you glad underneath all your failures and shortcomings are his everlasting arms? Underneath are his arms. Our boldness in our service for the Lord comes from God's strength. Our confidence comes from the word of God that he is my refuge. I don't care how strong you think your character and your discipline is, there comes a moment in your journey of faith with the Lord where you're going to find that all of your earthly comforts will fail you. And can I just tell you this morning, that's when God will show himself. And your heart and your flesh will fail. Your friends won't be able to help you, but underneath are the everlasting arms if you'll turn to him, if you'll turn to him. It's a time when there is sinking in the flesh, but arise in the Spirit. I'd like to tell you this morning, in closing, if you're lost, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Please be careful, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hell is below. When you're hanging on to your good works and everything that you can do, if you don't let go and stop trusting your good deeds and efforts, you're going to burn in hell. You have to let go of what you can do and place your faith in Christ. And until you place your faith in Christ, underneath, his arms are not underneath you if you're lost. You're waiting for your heart to beat for the last time where you'll drop into hell. It's an encouragement to get saved. There's many verses that show the simple plan of salvation. Luke chapter 20, I like this. And he beheld them and said, "What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner." I love this. "Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." If you're lost, kneel now or kneel later, but you're going to kneel. You're going to bow. You either fall on the stone, broken, "Jesus, I can't save myself," or that stone will fall on you and it will crush you to powder. Amen? Salvation, praise God, is simple, but it is a decision that you have to make. You have to place your faith in Christ. If you'll let go of your good works, then the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The name of the sermon this morning is, "Underneath are the Everlasting Arms." And let's pray. Father, this truth I wish, as you've used it in my life,